You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the Game, yeah, Building the Game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, July 3rd, 2017. You're listening to episode 266. My name is Rob. Jason is here as well. Surprise, surprise.
Indeed I am.
Indeed you are. Greetings. Hi. How's it going?
It is going very well.
Yeah. Well, so it's a Tuesday here that we're recording on. The day this episode goes up is July 3rd. It's my wife's birthday. Happy birthday, Christine.
Happy birthday, Christine. Glad you're listening to hear this.
She won't.
False.
At all. But nevertheless, builders, you heard it from me. I'm wishing her a happy birthday. In advance.
This is witnesses.
Right. Yeah. So that's good. 4th of July is tomorrow. What are you doing for the 4th?
Well, today, actually, on the 3rd, this night, we are, as my son would say, this night, we are going to shoot off a bunch of fireworks.
Cool.
So last year, so there's a place, you maybe see it on the way to my house. There's Crazy Mike's Fireworks.
Yeah.
I could not recommend that place more.
Yeah.
Not only do they have tons of fireworks, and they're very well priced. Mm-hmm. It's a local place. I like to support that. I'm not driving to Indiana to buy fireworks, right? But in addition to that, they actually have like an on-demand system. It must just be a DVD or a Blu-ray or something with huge TVs. And you're like, hey, this firework. And they're like, you want to see it? And then they play you what the firework looks like.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
That's
so
really neat.
When you're buying the $10 ones,
yeah,
you're not getting one that isn't what you want. Mm-hmm. So
that's cool.
And they are more than happy to show it to you. Josiah stood there for 5 minutes and kept asking to see him. And then we ended up buying a bunch because I'm like, well, okay, that's cool. Let's get this one.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. And they sell like legit, you know, they sell the big ones, right?
Yeah.
And
they're
a good price, but they're big.
Yeah.
And they make a lot of noise and do a lot of stuff.
For builders out there, so we're in Kalamazoo, Southwest Michigan, right?
Right.
Michigan fireworks laws, I would not say are terrible. You know, I mean, they're pretty reasonable.
Now they are. They used to not be.
They used to be pretty bad, right? But Indiana's laws around fireworks are even more relaxed, are yes, basically ridiculous.
Yeah. You want to buy a stick of dynamite? Here you go.
Yeah, so a lot of folks around here around the 4th of July, the week or two before, will drive over the Indiana border, and there are, let me tell you, a lot of fireworks stores right across the border.
Yes, immediately across the border.
And so people stock up, and they spend a lot less money, and they can get much crazier stuff.
Right.
So that's kind of a thing around here.
Right. So, but I like being able to go 2 miles from my house, if that, and buy a bunch.
Yeah,
so,
right.
And it's nice that I like having that business like right there. Mm-hmm. Like that's convenient. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's neat.
Speaking of which, you see that market behind it is open now?
I did see that.
After like a year and a half of coming soon, it's open.
It's finally open. Yeah. Have you been in there yet?
Yeah. I mean, they're clearly still working on it, but they were like, this is good enough. We can open now.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But no, I was impressed. Like the owners seemed really nice and it's convenient. I can get milk right next to my house instead of, well, a mile away, but instead of driving all the way to a gas station or a store that's farther out.
Yeah.
It's convenient.
That's good.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So what else is going on?
Gosh, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I played a lot of games recently, which I'll talk about soon during the topic.
Okay.
So, spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
I'll tell you what. So, I mentioned this on Twitter, and you were harassing me. I started watching House of Cards.
Yeah.
I can't recommend that enough. Wow.
Yeah.
I just watched the first episode of season 2, which is a really good episode and a surprising episode. And the coolest thing about the show is they don't quite let you in on the plan.
Yeah, right.
And then once you realize the plan, you're like, oh, gosh. Because, like, so this is the two best things about the show in my mind.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to have spoilers, but the two best things about the show are, so when I heard you talk about the show, what I thought was that Frank Underwood was invincible, right?
Uh-huh.
That he always succeeded, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he always succeeded, but he doesn't.
Oh, no.
He continually
Far
fails.
Far from it.
But he can pivot and roll with that.
Yes.
And that's what's fun to watch.
That's his mutant power.
Yeah, when he's scrambling Hands down, though, my favorite character on the show who snuck up on me is Stamper. His dude, Doug.
Oh, Doug, yeah.
Like, that guy...
Dude, Doug goes places in the show.
I'm excited to see that because he's, like... Even since the beginning, like, and only in the beginning of season two, like, he was this, like, quiet guy, kind of talks like this. Like, he's always monotone. But first of all, he's terrifying because he talks like that. But he also seems like he cares about people. Like, and he, like, it, sometimes, right? I mean, so, like, he's an interesting character.
He
right?
sure is.
There was a moment in season one where Frank says, something happens and Frank says to him, no matter what happens, we're never going to talk about this. And he processes what's going to happen, and that seems to bother him, which I appreciated that, you know, that scenario bothered him as a character, right? And that, so I can't wait to see where he goes throughout the season. So I do know a few spoilers out in the distance because they were so hard to avoid.
Sure.
Yep. But obviously, some big changes happen.
It's
going
to happen.
Now I see how that's going, how that's starting the progression.
Yeah.
But it's, it's fantastic. But the other thing that I thought I would hate about the show that I actually love is that he talks to the camera.
Yes. Right.
He Ferris Bueller's it. Right.
Right. Right.
And if it was any other actor, it would be terrible.
Sure. But they also don't overdo it.
Nope. Nope.
You know, they might go 4 or 5 episodes without him doing that.
Or at least if he does it, it's very minimal, right?
Yeah, get further into the show, and there will come a time when you will forget that that's even a thing, and then all of a sudden he'll do it, and you go,
Oh, there was an episode we just saw where it gets to the end of the show, and he looks in the mirror, and then he looks at the camera, and he says, "Did you think I forgot about you?" And then he talks, and I'm like, "Oh, that's so good!"
Yeah,
so right. Everyone else is already watching this because I've waited so long, but. Yeah. Wow.
I told you.
It lived up to the hype big time.
Right. We still have not seen the newest season. We need to. We made a mistake. We started watching Twin Peaks, the original Twin Peaks show, not the reboot.
Oh, because the reboot's short.
But yeah, right. So we started watching the original, and we watched the first season. I think we tore through that first season. That's only like 9 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We tore through that in like 3 days because it was really good. Second season is not as good, and it's like twice as long. Mm-hmm. I think we're about halfway through it right now. We are enjoying it, but it's been one of those things where we've kind of like, I'm just not sure if I'm ready to go back to that right now.
Right.
But we need to finish that before we get back to House of Cards.
Right.
Because we don't like to have a lot of series going at the same time.
That's fair. I got my wife to agree to watch Sherlock. So once we're done with House of Cards, we're gonna watch all of Sherlock. Because it's like 13 hours, right? It's not...
Yeah. The newest season is not great.
Really?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
You watched the
I've seen it. Yeah. Oh, okay. There were things about it that were not great.
Yeah.
But like there were a couple scenes. Sherlock tends to do this, right? Like it can be pretty good, but then every once in a while they'll hit you with something and you're like, "What?" It is planned out, it is paid for, it is not something that is out of left field. It feels like it is, but it's justified, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was certainly not my favorite season. I think season... Sure, I don't know. Episodes in season two were certainly my favorite episodes, but season two also had the Hound of the Baskervilles, which was good.
Yeah. I think it was the worst one until this newest season, I think.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
But the way they tied things together in the last episode, I appreciated.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of running around and a lot of figuring stuff out that wasn't...
I just felt like they got to the end of the previous stuff and they were like, oh man, we really wrote ourselves into a corner and we don't know what to do. So let's just retcon a bunch of crap and write in some new things. And
yeah, they did do a bit of that for sure.
And then we'll just kind of get ourselves back to where we were before all this stuff got messy. And then it'll be fine. And we can just make another season and pretend none of this ever happened.
Do you think they're going to do another season?
I don't know. I kind of don't care at this point.
Well, like the last episode, and this is not a spoiler, but the end of the last episode felt like it could be the end of the series.
I think they did that on purpose, not knowing, right?
It kind of ended with, and so on, right? Like,
yeah.
It was like, okay, so... But if that was the end, I would be okay with that.
But, and realistically speaking, that's exactly what Doyle did in the original stories. Is he wrote a few stories and then he ended it and he killed Sherlock Holmes, right? And then everybody got pissed off, and so he brought Sherlock Holmes back, but he married John away, and so John didn't live with Holmes anymore. And then all the fans got pissed because they weren't together anymore, and Doyle was like, all right, fine, all you a-holes. I'll just keep writing. I'll pretend none of this ever happened. And then he just pretended that John never got married and kept on writing stories. So yeah, so they're basically kind of doing the same thing that Arthur Conan Doyle did.
But they are
in the
not
first place.
Pretending things didn't happen. They're just retconning things to make them make more sense.
You're just kind of sloppy.
So yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
What something that I didn't realize about Sherlock is that in the writing, that Mark Gatiss or Gatiss, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
British, so I don't know if it's Gatiss or Gatiss, but he's one of the main writers of the show, mm-hmm. and he's Mycroft.
Oh, is it the same
yeah.
guy? Oh, I
yeah.
didn't realize that.
I figured that out this season, actually.
Oh,
I was
okay.
like, oh my gosh.
Cool.
He's one of him and Stephen Moffat write that
yeah.
all together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so that I thought was interesting to know mm-hmm. that, especially with how terrible his character is in general, that he was happy to make himself the worst person ever.
Yeah.
His character in the 1800s episode. Mm-hmm. It's one of the funniest,
yeah.
or 1900s,
whatever
it's
it was,
hilarious.
Yeah. The Christmas episode.
Oh
yeah.
my god,
that was good. I enjoyed
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Alternatively, as it's right. like, yes, all so good. Yeah,
yeah.
Anyways,
yeah. Well, I played a couple things.
Did you? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we went over to Arden's place the other night. The guy I played Warhammer with, and we played some more Outlawed. And I sold him on a copy of Outlawed.
Nice.
They just loved it. I think he said he halfway through the first round he was like, "Oh,
yep.
this is awesome!" Right.
I can very much picture him liking that game.
Yeah, yeah. So it was he like in the turn order it was me and then Christine and then Arden, and it got to his turn and then he remembered what we had both said, and he was looking at what he was trying to do, and then that's when it clicked for him. Anyway,
that's
so
impressive. It clicked that quickly. Usually,
yeah,
it takes people a few
right.
turns for.
He's a smart guy, and then
true,
we is. Also we also play tested Simple Surgery.
Yeah,
which is the first time I'd really poked at that since Unpub, and I think that went really well. I have some changes to make, mainly just to some kind of the difficulty, but I feel really good about Simple Surgery. Actually,
great.
I'm definitely gonna have that at Gen Con. And I will, barring any wonderful surprises at Gen Con, of course, I would plan to bring it to Unpub Midwest. Is that October?
November 3rd.
November 3rd. Okay, yeah. So I would definitely bring it to that. So yeah, so really happy with where that is right now.
Cool.
Yeah. And I guess that's all. I played. Steam sales going on right now, so I spent like $30 and bought 9 games.
Well, that's a good deal, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a killer deal. Steam sale is dangerous.
Speaking of video games, did mm-hmm. you see that Nintendo's putting out the SNES Classic? So,
yeah.
I'm going to say this on recording, and if I end up in jail, you'll understand why.
Uh-huh.
I don't care what it takes. I'm getting that.
Uh-huh.
Because
really?
Super Mario Kart,
uh-huh.
to me, the single best iteration of Super Mario Kart is that one. It lets you play battle mode against uh-huh. the computer, which uh-huh. most of the other iterations do not let you do. It is the single best game ever. F-Zero is in there.
Yeah. And F-Zero 2. Or no, I'm sorry, Star Fox 2 is one.
Yeah. Right. Ba-da-ba-da. Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, dab-a-doo-dab.
Yeah, the best Mario Kart is your first Mario Kart.
Yeah. Oh, that's fair. Well, yeah. I don't know. If you played Mario Kart Wii first, I feel like you'd be losing. So,
well,
I've heard the Wii U Mario Kart is actually
Mario
super
Kart
stellar.
8.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mario Kart 8, Kart 8 is supposed to be real good.
But anyways... incidentally, Mario Party 8 was also really good. If you like mini games and crazy stuff.
I don't.
Well, then you would hate it.
Yeah.
Don't play that game.
Man, but Chrono Trigger, it doesn't have Chrono Trigger.
Well,
I mean, I'm not going to say that it's worthless because it doesn't have Chrono Trigger
right.
on it. That's silly, but Chrono Trigger for me was always the Super Nintendo game.
That's fair.
Like the ultimate Super Nintendo game.
It also has Contra 3, not just Super C, which I was a little surprised by.
Yeah.
It has Link to the Past, which is great.
Which is good,
because,
right?
Like, I'd love to play through that again.
That's good. I would have loved to see Super Star Wars on it. Super Star Wars was good. And I would have loved to see Samurai Showdown on that, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Earthbound is on there.
I've never played Earthbound. I've heard it's great.
I've seen it. I've never played it, but I've heard it's amazing. So
yeah.
I would love the chance to play that.
See, for me, SNES games were Chrono Trigger, were Mario Kart, Samurai Showdown, Battletoads.
Battletoads, yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, what else? I never played any of the Final Fantasy stuff until Final Fantasy 7, so nothing for that. I know Final Fantasy, it's 3 in America and 6 in Japan, I think,
mm-hmm.
is on that, so that's good. Anyway, whatever.
See, my favorite Final Fantasy ever was Final Fantasy 2.
Yeah.
That was the That to me is the iconic one. Mm-hmm. It's where they had the airships. They had the first time they had.
Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah, the Dragoon and stuff like that. Yeah. Kane, right? Yeah.
I don't know. I never played it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I'm stoked. I will get up at 4 a.m. to get that if I have to. I mean, I gotta get a hold of that.
Do you still have your original SNES?
No. No, I have my original Super Nintendo. Oh, sorry. Yes, that's what you meant. All I heard was NES, but yeah, no, I do have it. Yeah. And I probably actually have all the games for it.
Yeah, good. Okay.
I guess I could just play it on those.
You could. Yeah. But it's cool to have HDMI.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to get a lag, right?
Mm-hmm. It depends on what your setup is, but probably, yeah.
So.
It is cool that it comes with two controllers.
Yes.
That's neat. Yeah, that was a good move.
Nintendo, people complained a lot about that. And they did promise they would make more than they did with
the original NES Classic. Yeah.
Which, the reason, I guess... they're now starting like a Netflix service that you can get with the Wii U.
With the Switch.
Which, spoiler alert, actually makes me want to buy a Switch because to be able to Netflix all those old games, like, I don't know how much they would charge, but
it's like $30 a year. Oh, that's crazy cheap. Yeah.
So my assumption is they will be then doing that with Super Nintendo games after everyone buys this. That's my guess.
No, I wouldn't count on that.
Really?
No.
Why would they not?
The old Wii Virtual Console stuff rarely did any Super Nintendo games.
Why?
And they started doing more and more as time went on, but they still didn't do too many. I think the Super Nintendo was just more difficult to emulate, and they just kind of didn't want to mess with it. Mm. So I would expect this Super NES Classic to just be a standalone thing, no DLC, none of that stuff.
Well, that's a bummer.
And I expect there will be some Super Nintendo games on the Switch, but probably not anytime soon.
That's fair. That's too bad, though.
I mean, I don't know. But anyway, that's a whole lot of... You know, I never had a Super Nintendo until I got out of high school. And then I went to a Target one day, and they had the Super Nintendo, the redesign that was more like the Japanese version. It wasn't the weird rectangle thing that we have with the... purple buttons that slide up and down. It was more like the original Super Famicom that was released in Japan and Europe, that was just kind of more boxy.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't exactly the same, but it was a lot closer to it. So it was the redesign. I got it on clearance, I think, for $25 at Target, brand new in box.
Whoa!
Yeah. So that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Pretty proud of that.
Yeah. All right.
But
we have a topic to talk about.
Yeah,
So it's going to be mostly me talking, but Rob is hopefully going to ask really compelling questions. I'm going to tell you guys about Origins, because I'm actually back from Origins for real.
Now that we're recording.
And I've actually been there.
Yeah.
So
So how were the fireworks?
The fireworks were impressive, you know. Uh-huh. The fireworks were impressive.
Okay.
You know what's not impressive?
What's that?
Everything else Origins does.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. If you work at Origins, you volunteer at Origins, and you listen to this podcast... Why can't Origins get their crap together?
Mm-hmm.
So
you mean in terms of bad registration and all that kind of stuff?
Listen, I shouldn't have to give a freaking blood sample to get my badge.
You didn't give a blood sample,
Jason. No, but I gave a ton of other information.
Uh-huh.
Who cares? Why am I giving you my driver's license to fill out a bunch of crap, right? Uh-huh. Let me write my name on the stupid badge and take my money. Shut up and take my money.
Well, because they want to be able to sell your personal information to third parties.
Yeah, well...
And make some money off that.
They can shut up. Anyways, they had terribly long lines. Luckily, I was not in one of those. I was in line for maybe 30 minutes.
Uh-huh.
But it could have been 0 minutes if their system was just better.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I think they contract that out to a third party, right? There's some third party where it just handles registration.
I'll tell you what, the volunteers were awesome.
Yeah.
I met some of the volunteers. A couple of the volunteers actually came and bought on real estate. The guy who sold me my badge did. He was fantastic. He was fast. The problem is they're asking them to do too much.
Sure, right.
To give me a badge.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. But anyways, Origins overall was great. Working in a booth for 8 hours, spoiler alert, is tiring.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give credit to Mark. He had a relief mat in there, a nice thick one for all of us to stand on. Still, my feet felt like they were going to fall off by the time I was done.
Sure.
Several of the people, I didn't do this, but several of the people in the booth were just working barefoot because it was cushy on your feet.
Gross.
Well, they had socks on.
Still gross.
Yeah, I wore shoes. Yeah. I can't not wear shoes.
No. I mean, I love bare feet. Don't get me wrong. I don't wear shoes or socks in the house basically ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm barefoot right now because I wear flip-flops over here. But if I'm in a public place, man.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, and bare feet.
So, especially because I was walking around with my shoes on, so I know I was getting it dirty. But anyways, Mark runs a tight ship. It was a good booth. Corinne and I signed a ton of games.
Cool. Sold out, right?
We sold out, yeah. Between sales and Kickstarter pickups, we sold out. So that was great.
It's awesome.
Mark was really happy. We did very well at that con. So
fantastic.
That was exciting.
And I got my copy in the mail shortly after.
Yeah. He looks kept fantastic. His promise, and he got busted him a lot as soon as he got back from Origins. Mm-hmm. I think Heather helped him with that, so that was good. They teamed up and got that done. And so in the booth, it was most of the time, it was Mark, myself, Corinne, and Heather.
Mm-hmm.
And the booths aren't that big, so four people's a little tight. Corinne and I kind of stayed off to one side. Mark kind of stayed back in the middle, just helping where it was necessary.
Like an 8-foot square kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of. So, and then Heather stayed off to the side at the demo table, and she was pretty much devoted to demoing Pocket Ops and sometimes Stroop.
Sure.
And Pocket Ops, by the way, crushed it on Kickstarter.
Yeah, boy, what a success.
It either made as much as or almost as much as Unreal Estate.
Yeah, I don't remember what your total was. But
it had over 1,100 backers.
Yeah.
So, like, because to get that close, it needed a lot more backers because it's only $14. But we did a lot of demos. A lot of people bought it, pledged it on the spot.
Cool.
Mark did a good job of taping things about Pocket Ops to the Unreal Estate games when people would buy them or pick them up. So it was like, check it out. Here's Pocket Ops. It's nice. Kickstarter. He's good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there was even, when I got my copy in the mail, there was a little card about Pocket Ops in the package. That was
And we done. Saw tweets from people that went and backed it. The one guy was like, this was a smart move because I just went and backed this because your game looks awesome. So that was great. Yeah. I was excited about that for him, that it's going so well.
Yeah.
So what else did I do at Origins? I ate at the Polish place over at North Market twice because you don't pass up the Polish place.
That stuff is so good.
So good.
Yeah.
My gosh.
I'm kind of sad I didn't go just so I could eat there.
I keep telling Steph, you have to go with me 1 year just so you can go eat in North Market because it's so good.
Did you have that ice cream?
I didn't get to have ice cream.
But there's a
coffee place there that's amazing. So thank you, Josh Mills, for buying me coffee, by the way, because Josh Mills is a good guy. So as for getting to hang out with people, I mostly hung out with Mark and Corinne just because like them, but I mean, we were working together, so we'd go out to dinner afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to spend a lot of quality time with Katarski, which was great.
Good.
Him and I walked the hall for a while together and chatted, and then he came to dinner with us both nights, so that was great. I got to see Josh Mills quite a bit more than I expected to, and that was nice because I love hanging out with Josh.
A little bit more of him than you wanted.
No, Josh was one of my favorite. I give Josh a lot of crap, but he's one of my favorite people to hang out with. I a lot of the usuals I didn't get to see that much. I was bummed. I saw Kopac for about 10 minutes, which made me very sad because I was really hoping to hang out with him, but I was in the booth all day, right?
Yeah, so, right. And stuff.
And then at night, by the time you get back, everybody's on different schedules. Mm-hmm. I did get to play a couple games with people. Specifically, I got to play Century Spice Road and Honshu. So let's talk about Honshu first. I played Honshu with I was sitting at a table waiting for somebody to do something else. And up walks Kirkman, Daryl Louder, and Brad Smoley. And they're like, you can either move or play Honshu. And I was like, let's play this. I've heard this game is cool. And it's really cool. You're building a map. Each card has 6 squares on it that are different things: cities, forests, deserts, and lakes. Oh, and then factories. You can either put the card over or under so that you can kind of see so that they line up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is to make chains of cities and chains of lakes, right? The only rule is you can't be, put out certain cards, they'll have what's the word I'm looking for? They will have cubes on them.
Hmm.
Like you earn cubes, like resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the game, you can put those cubes on factories, or you can use them to bid during the game. I used most of mine to bid because it was just worked better that way.
Mm-hmm.
The only really rule for placement is you can't cover water. You can't build on water, basically, right? It was great. So it was a super fun game. Loved it. Bought it. It was sold out, so I ordered it off Amazon the next day. Century Spice Road, Yeah.
Okay.
Not
glowing
really.
Review. Here
so,
it comes.
Well, see, here's the thing. The mechanics are solid.
Yeah.
The theme to me was super boring. I mean, essentially in that game, I am trading cubes for more cubes. Like, mm-hmm. That is my job in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I got cubes. I need more cubes that are different, so I'll trade them.
Okay.
Whole game. Great. But the theme was just boring in general to me because you're just trading. Kirkman was pointing out the art was really good. The art is really good. Mm-hmm. But I needed something, you know, it was funny because I said, so it's just, he doesn't speak to me. I said, I need something a little different. And he said, hey buddy, I have judged several of your games that were submitted to my contest. And I can tell you that I've never thought, wow, Jason has a boring theme on this game. He said, so I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so anyways, it was a fine game. I got like third place. So the what was funny to me was I got third place, almost second, and not too, honestly, I wasn't too far out of the win, right?
Uh-huh.
The whole point is you're trading in cards to get different abilities for trading cubes up, right?
Okay.
And on top of that, then you've got other cards that allow you, when you buy that card, you get something for it. You get points, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody had at the end of the game, like, so it's a little bit of deck building, right? So I buy these cards and I can play them, but once I've played them all, I have to rest for a turn and put all the cards back in my hand, right? And most everybody else, I would say, had 8 to 10 cards at the end of the game. I'm guessing, but it was Heather had at least 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kirkman did too. They were sitting next to me. So, at the end of the game, I had 4 cards.
Mm.
You start with 2.
Okay.
I literally only bought 2 cards and you just draft them. And it was because I drafted the cards I had were a system of, this was the entire game for me. Play a card, play the next card, play the next card, play the next card. Buy something with all the things I've just earned,
mm-hmm.
refresh, take it back, and start over. Like, I played the cards in the exact same order every single time.
Really?
Which is probably part of the reason why it was boring. But here's the thing. That actually worked. And I was one turn away from being in second place, but Heather swooped in and got something before I could, and the game ended.
Mm.
So, like, I'm sure I just got lucky that I just was like, these are good cards. I took the cards and I happened to be right.
Yeah.
But that's what made it boring was because there was no, I mean, I just did the same exact thing every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because there was a guy, I don't remember his name, unfortunately, he was sitting next to us watching us play. And about halfway through watching us play, he started paying attention to what other people were doing. And he said, you're playing a completely different game. He's like, by watching you play, I thought the game was one thing, and watching them, I realized it's something completely different because I was just doing one thing over and over.
Well, maybe you're the one who's playing it wrong then. I mean, I haven't played. I can't judge,
playing it too wrong because out of 5 people, I was in the middle, like towards the top.
You didn't win.
It's true. Yeah. But I mean, nothing was incentivizing me to do different things, right?
Other than the fact that you were in third place.
I guess, yeah, but I also wasn't, I don't know, the game just wasn't that engaging.
Sure, well,
I
think it didn't click for you, so
I think with a fun theme, those mechanics were good,
yeah.
But trading cubes for cubes seemed boring, so.
Mm. Okay.
So other than that, Origins was pretty good. I mm-hmm. demoed a game for Mark to get some feedback on Unreal Estate Conquest, mm-hmm. and I showed some other people too, and the feedback I got overwhelmingly was, this is fun, but this is, the barrier for entry is too high.
Yeah.
And I had a hard time with that at first. I struggled with why is that the case? Because mm-hmm. it doesn't feel like it's too high. Like, what's, you know, how is this different than Sandbox Showdown?
Yeah.
Well, I realized that in Sandbox Showdown, there's 10 abilities you have to pay attention to, 10 of yours, and the opponent has 10, but it somehow 10 and 10 was not too bad. Barrier for entry was a little high, but not too bad, right?
Yeah.
This game, there's 12 abilities for each of you. And somehow, that made it 100 times harder. Mm. I don't understand how introducing 4 more did, but it did.
It did, okay.
So I'm actually working on a revamp of that game that simplifies it and actually makes the scoring a lot more like Unreal Estate. So instead of just being straight area control, it's which area you control that matters.
Okay.
Basically, the farther away from your home base, which is your starting square, that you control area, the more points it's worth.
Okay.
And vice versa for your opponent. So
okay.
So you're trying to expand out, but also realizing that you're making yourself more and more vulnerable when you do that.
Sure.
Right. So anyways, So I'm reworking that because it's an idea I'm committed to making work, mm-hmm. either as an Unreal Estate game or as something else.
Sure.
Because I like it.
Well, good.
Yeah. So I think that was Origins. I saw Ben Pinchback for a little bit.
Okay.
I did not see Matt Riddle, so that was a plus. It's too bad he was sick, so I felt a little bad for him. So
poor Matt.
Yeah, you know.
I hope you feel better, Matt. It's been a couple of weeks now.
He probably has, yeah. So anyways, I did see Loomis and Isaac for a bit.
Good.
Yeah, not a ton, but for a bit, so that was always good.
Yeah, Matt Loomis, one of our two competitors this year in the Iron Design Challenge.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, was he getting psyched up? No.
It's hard to tell if Matt is psyched up about stuff.
It's true. He's can be pretty reserved.
Yeah.
It's hard to
read. The only time he gets psyched up is when you tell him his math is wrong on a game.
Or when he gets drunk.
Oh, he does get psyched up when he's drunk a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to be fair, when he's drunk, he talked a lot about math. So, you know. But anyways, yeah.
Okay.
So that is, that was Origins. Good. Oh, and I did meet a new person who was awesome.
Oh, yeah?
His name was Alan.
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 Not the Alan we've had on the show before.
No, this is a different Alan. Alan Pankel, I believe.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember to put a link to his artwork in the show notes.
Okay.
He's a friend of Corinne's. He happened to be at dinner the first night, and him and I just clicked as people who have like personalities, and he was super cool.
Good.
I actually ended up picking up two prints of his art.
Cool.
Because I was looking for two more things to put up down here, and those fit. They
Good.
Were not like Corinne's style, but they were very different, actually, but they had a vibe that I really liked, so I got a couple of those, mm-hmm. And now, hopefully, in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to start hanging up all the art down here. So
it's only been, like, what, 3 years?
Oh, since the thing has been done, it's been about a year.
About a year, oh, okay.
So, yeah. But still, I mean...
Since you moved into the house,
an inexcusable amount of time. So, yeah.
It's okay. Well, We've been in our house for about 9 months now, and we're getting closer to hanging some more stuff.
Right.
We've hung a few
things. It takes time, you know?
It does, especially when you don't want to just hang up all the same crap you had at the last house.
And you don't want to hang it up and then be like, oh, why did I put that there? And now I have to repaint that or plaster over it. Yeah, so.
Right. So.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pitch a game. How about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Pitch a game.
Pitch me a game.
No, pitch me a game.
I'm going to pitch you a game.
I mean, I can pitch a game, but I was going to do that next week.
Yeah. Well, I'm pitching a game. I don't know why you're still talking.
Well, fine.
Ooh. Pause. Rob is going to fill time now. He's not allowed to edit this. He's going to fill time.
I'm going to fill time. I'm going to stretch. Well, let me tell you, we did a little playtest earlier this evening of the game that I pitched last week for the Haba contest. I just called it the Wizard's Hat. We played that tonight with Jason's kids, Josiah and Laurel. And it was actually really fun. Just to give everybody some updates. So I did go with the eight pink and orange, you know, four pink, four orange, little tokens in the bag, each with a symbol on it, four different symbols. And then I gave every kid, every player three cards with a combination of two, three, four, five, or six colors and symbols that they need to create. At any rate, it worked. It worked really well. I think, feedback though, downsides were it took a little bit too long, considering the young kids that need to be involved with that. I think that the game length probably should have been cut in half realistically, and so we talked about some ways to address that. There were maybe a few too many times where we weren't able to complete a spell where the combo just didn't work out. So I need to make some of those a little bit simpler. Like I said, right now, I had situations where you might need to get a combo of six, which is actually pretty hard to do. So I think I need to remove those out, and I need to change those into being things where you only need to combine three. So that'll change the average of what the average difficulty is for these things. And I think that's going to be good. Also, instead of every player having their own hand of three cards, Jason recommended that I just put five cards out on the table for everybody to draw from. And I think that'll simplify choices quite a bit. Jason's back now.
Yeah.
Though,
Did you mention with that? It was super fun. We had a great time playing it and the kids liked it. Did you mention, when you finish helping
Oh, I did not. So, yeah, and that was a good idea. So the original thought being that whoever finishes their character first, successfully assembles the five pieces of their character and rescues them from the wizard's hat, then they win. But instead of doing it that way, what we did is we said, well, you saved your person, and now you still can keep playing, and on your turn, if you cast a spell, you pick somebody else to help. And so the game's over when everybody wins. You could also play it more competitively, and the first one to finish their person is the winner, too.
For sure.
You know, so I think that depends on the age of the kids, right? The age of the players, which way you want to go with that. But at any rate, that's all the feedback that I have right now. And it looks like Jason, well, I'll let you take it from here.
So they ran out of Hobba things, right, that Rob did, because I was on vacation. So by the time he could have told me, they were already gone. Well, at Origins, they were going to have more. Well, sure enough, they did. But instead of buying them and putting them together, they said, pick five items, pay $1, and enter the contest.
Pick five items, pay $1.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah, like, I wanted to just be like, I'll give you $50 for this whole thing of components. I'm not even going to enter the contest. I'm just going to keep these.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
It did not. I did think about going back and swiping a second bag, but a lot of the things that I had saw that looked cool weren't there anymore on the last day. And I was just going to buy components and give them to the kids to play with. But the lady was super generous, because if you notice, I have seven items
here. You sure do.
She said, if you need a couple extra, just take a couple extra. I was like, you sure? She's like, oh, well, I don't care. It's fine. So, nice. So I don't have a name for my game yet.
Okay.
I was something like Lost Socks, maybe, or something.
Odd Socks?
Well, it can't be Odd Socks, because that game already exists.
Right. And it was a good game, too.
Where's My Sock?
Yeah. Where's My Sock? M-A-H apostrophe S-O-C-K, or S-O-K?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
Okay.
So, the components of this game right now are pretty simple. The ones that were provided by Hobba, I have a die. And this is a classic Hobba color die,
yeah,
which is a white die with a bunch of colors on it.
Six different colors.
Six different colors, yes. So, also provided by Hobba are six socks. Mm-hmm. These are little chipboard socks. Mm-hmm. They are all striped socks.
Yep.
But they all have different colors. I sorted through and found the six unique socks that they had.
Gotcha.
So, that's that was done on purpose.
It's a key part of the game.
Now, in the real game, you might have more socks, right? But you could certainly play it with six. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's going to happen, what I've also added to the game is a stack of cards. And the stack of cards have on it, they're the same color on both sides, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was just looking, your die has a purple on it. And I don't think any of your socks have purple on them.
Purple will be wild.
Hey.
Hey, look at that. Pick any color. Great, great, great. Good point, though. So the idea is you're going to be dealt a card, and that card is going to have five colors on it, blue, red, you know, and they'll all be colors from the socks, right?
Okay.
And then on your turn, you're going to roll the die, and I got a red. No, I got an orange.
Orange.
Through this, filter. It's a little hard to see.
Yeah.
I got an orange. So that means that I have to pick a sock that has orange on it. So right now there's only one sock with orange, so that needs to change. But, so let's say I got blue though, right? Lots of the socks have a blue color on them, right?
Yep, all but one.
So when I grab this sock, I put it in front of me. It's my sock now. That is going to cover every color that is listed on my card that is on this sock, right? So if my sock has blue, yellow, and green, I've just done blue, yellow, and green right there.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
So So that's... So the idea is I need to get enough socks to cover all the colors on my list.
Okay.
So, and we just take turns rolling and grabbing a sock that has the color. With six, I think you can steal from people because there's only six socks, you know, in a four-player game, you're going to be stealing, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that probably with three socks, you should be able to complete it as the goal. So three turns, but noting that sometimes you may not be able to take. So I think what the rule would be is you roll, and if the color you rolled is in the middle, you have to take that sock. If it's not, then you can go taking from someone else. So you can't always choose to just keep stealing from someone, because otherwise, why would you not do that, right? Mm-hmm. Well, because you're kids and you're not super mean like adults are. But yeah, so that's the idea with that there.
So what's the win situation?
When you get, so if I have like, say my card has five colors, blue, red, yellow, green, blue, red, yellow, green, orange, right? Those are the five colors I have.
Yeah.
So if I get boom, those two socks, I've covered all the colors, right? So the idea is that I should probably make more socks.
Yeah.
That's what I should probably do is...
With fewer colors on them.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Maybe like every sock has two colors or something.
Right. I like three, though. I do like three because I want you to be able to think hard about it, right? Like, uh-huh. Like two is probably enough, actually. So anyways, so I can alter these, that part of the rules, right? So what I probably will do is cut out some more of these, I guess. Or maybe I just make all of them have two colors. Maybe that's enough, and then add purple in. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's a simple game, but kids could totally do that. It helps with color matching, and you know, strategizing of, hey, if I pick this red one, it also has green, and I need green as well. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so it's simple.
Sure. But yeah,
that's what I came up with.
All right, that's not bad. To add to that, maybe you could have the card, the color combos easier to complete, but you want to be the first person. And then after you complete that, then you turn that card over and you get points for that card, and then you take another card.
I like that.
That can maybe make the game last a little bit longer. And
then it could be just like three colors on a card. So when you complete it, boom, you flip it over. Then you don't need more socks necessarily.
Right, because then you just cash in, you turn your socks back into the center.
Yep.
Yeah. That might be something else to do. Trying to think of other ideas.
So another idea could be that when you roll the die, you can either take a sock or use that color for that turn. So let's say I roll green, but there's no green in the middle, but all mm-hmm. I need is green. So I've got my colors and my socks, and here's green now.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, compounding those two things together.
Right.
That might be too complex to explain to a kid.
Yeah, you know kids better than I do. So yeah, I mean that's a different factor to consider, different from stacking socks.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
But I'm kind of enamored with the color matching idea. Like,
yeah, no, I like
even
that too.
for a more adult game to where you roll the die, you get what you get. And then you have to pick something.
Yeah.
Or as my son's teacher says, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit.
You get what you get.
She's a pretty awesome teacher.
Yeah. Sure. Sounds great.
She tells
great.
Those kids how it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I may explore the color matching idea for a more adult game as well.
Okay.
Because I like that choice of, boom, I've got this simple, I roll this color die.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do with it now, you know? Okay. I already have the color die. I might as well use it for a game.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Then again, I guess I have to send it back.
You have to send it back, right, yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see if I actually remember to enter the contest or not.
July 31st, man.
There's just a lot more. I can't just send these six, seven components back and say, this is what I got.
Yeah.
I have to do more.
You do have to do more. Yeah, that's kind of the idea.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
I have the paperwork, though, so.
Good.
So yeah.
I think mine is... I need to like we said, I need to edit my cards and then do an updated version and then probably play it one more time with some folks. I probably have some people this coming weekend in town to play it with, and then I'll probably just send it off here in next week or so. I mean, it's working. I'm happy with it. I think it's cute.
Yeah, get it in early.
Yeah, get it in early. Then they you know, can make an impact early before they have a huge glut of them coming in at the end of the month, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's my strategy there. I think this is a super cool contest. I mean, just the structure of it with the, you know, we're going to send you random crap or let you pick some random crap and then see what you can do, right? I think that alone, that's our kind of challenge, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
stuff we really dig.
Yeah.
But also, it's a challenge about kids' games. And we never see those.
Right.
You know? And it's a very different thing. It's a very specific thing. And I don't even have kids and I know that, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's neat. I think it's neat. I like that. Yeah. What I have to decide is for mine, do I want to make an actual wizard's hat to put the tokens into?
Oh, to send with it? Gosh.
Yeah, you know?
Part of me thinks you do.
Like, because, you know, like a nice conical blue hat with, like, stars and moons on it or something.
Because that would get people's attention.
Right? With a, you know, drawstring. I kind of feel like I have to.
I would. I
kind of feel like I have to.
Because if you did that, like, that's legit. People, they see the vision, right?
They're right.
Like, oh.
Right.
Yeah, because sometimes it's about getting a publisher to see the vision.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and yeah, so I think I kind of have to do that. Maybe do a little bit of graphic design and make the cards look like the pages of a spell book. I don't think I have time to. Well, I might actually have time to order cards from GameCrafter.
Totally could.
I could. So maybe
why
I
not? You have a good game.
Yeah.
Why not do it up?
Maybe I should.
You could even order the chipboard pieces from GameCrafter if you wanted to.
I could. I don't think I'll go that far. I've never done the laser cut stuff that they do before,
Fair enough.
I'm not sure that I want to try and learn it on a short timeline. So I'll probably just do that with foam core like I did.
What you have is fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'll probably just stick with that.
Cool.
So maybe make the images a little prettier and give them borders and stuff, right? But yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. I guess that's it for the show, huh?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, wow. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the show. It's pretty cool that you did that. It's pretty cool that you downloaded it and then you spent the time to listen to it. Even if you did it on 1.5 speed, that's still cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, I guess.
Appreciate it. So if you guys want to get in touch with us, you know, just in case, you can email us at buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. Our website's buildingthegamepodcast.com, just in case you were wondering.
True story.
You know, we're also on Twitter. Our Twitter is @podcastbtg. If you wanted to find Jason on Twitter, that would be @JASlingerland. I'm also on Twitter.
Oh, are you now?
Yeah, I am @poorly_designed.
Yeah?
Yeah. You can call our Google Voice. Yeah, you can call us and leave us a voicemail that we can play on the show.
That's our favorite.
Yeah, that's 770-TEL-BTG, which is pretty neat. This is all pretty cool stuff.
Super duper.
Say. Yeah, right. That's probably all that we're going to do right now, though. So I'm going to say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
See you later.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
So what I was going to suggest was 266, 267.
Yeah.
I was actually going to ask you, and it's funny that he mentioned it, I was going to ask your thoughts on having back again maybe next time.
Sure.
And then we don't have to think of a topic. Because
he'll just go.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
He'll just talk.
Right. Okay.